that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as lights in the world. The first part of that text we take this morning as the Word of God to each one of us. And as we begin, I ask you this question. What is it that marks you off from the rest of the world? What is it that separates you from others who are in the world? What makes you distinctive, even peculiar in the eyes of the world? But you say to me, wait a minute. I don't want to be peculiar. I don't want to be that different or that distinctive that people look at me and kind of squint and ask the question, well, why is that individual so peculiar? I don't want to be in that kind of situation. And after all, if the Church of Jesus Christ is separated from the world to that extent, how in the world do you expect men and women to come into the church? We can't be that distinctive, that different. Can't we really keep one foot in the church and the other foot in the world, as it were, and not be quite so different? Well, you know, last week in our text, verse 14, Paul pointed out that we ought to do all things without grumbling and disputing. And I don't know about you, but I really think that's a little different and distinctive. In fact, that's a little peculiar. And the Apostle Paul tells us in no uncertain terms this morning in verse 15 why it is that we ought to be distinctive individuals in this particular sense. That you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach. I want you to get the context here of our text once again. The context, the broader context, is the context of obedience. Earlier in the text, Paul sets before us the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he tells us that we ought to have the mind of Christ. In verse 5, he says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. And what is that attitude? Verse 8 tells us, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Obedience is the example which is set before us. And Paul brings that home in verse 12 by telling us that we too ought to be obedient. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my absence, in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. You see, obedience is the context. And it's the good pleasure of God, obedience to the living God, that God is indeed working out in His people. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. And what is a part of His good pleasure? Verse 14 again. Do all things without grumbling and disputing. That's part of God's good pleasure. We need to obey that commandment of God. Why? Here we go. Verse 15. That you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach. In the New American Standard Version, there are those words, prove yourselves. In the King James Version, it's translated by one little word of two letters, be. Be. And I really believe that's the better translation of our text this morning, that you may be blameless, innocent, children of God above reproach. If you turn back to the sixth chapter of Ephesians, there's a similar statement, or grammatically the same thing is set before us in verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 6. Again, not all the versions translate it the same. The King James and the New American Standard are the same here. That it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Paul's talking here about the fifth commandment. And he says, obey the fifth commandment that it may be well with you. It can't be well with us if we are disobedient to that commandment. There's always going to be troubles between parents and children, and troubles in life if we don't obey that commandment, that it may be well with you. The New International Version says that it may go well with you. Actually, again, it is the word be. And this is what Paul is trying to emphasize in this 15th verse of Philippians 2, that you may be. I don't know if you catch the force of that or not, but I really hope you do. He says, do all things without grumbling and disputing, that you may be blameless, innocent, children of God, above reproach. Now, I don't know about you, but that comes down pretty hard on me. I remember a lot of times when I have grumbled, not only about what my parents have said or what my children have said, but about what God has said. Catch what Paul is telling us here. He wants us to be, in the sight of the world, in the midst of a perverse generation, blameless, innocent, children of God, above reproach. That's what he's calling us to be. And it is in the context of obedience before the living God, and it is in the context of doing all things without grumbling or disputing. Well, let's zero in on these four things that the Apostle Paul lays before us. That you may be blameless. What is Paul telling us here? There's a sense in which Paul is talking here about being blameless before the law. In chapter 3 and in, chapter 3 and verse 6, Paul describes himself as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. Now, we all acknowledge that this is an external thing. That Paul, even though he was a persecutor of the church, was observed to be very meticulous in his care of following God's commandments. And that was an external thing. But it's the same word that he's using here. I'd like you to turn back in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1 and verse 6. Because we see a marked contrast in the lives of two saints by the name of Elizabeth and Zacharias, the father and mother of John the Baptist. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, and they were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. I dare say that this was not external obedience, but this was a willingness from the heart in submission to the living God. These were people who loved the Lord their God with all their heart and with all their soul and with all their strength. As Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And that's exactly how these people were. But what about arguing and grumbling and complaining in this context? I want you to think about this now. When there's a little bit of arguing in our hearts, when there's more than a little bit of complaining in our hearts, and also outwardly, is it possible that we can be considered to be blameless? I doubt it. I doubt it. That you may be innocent, Paul says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. That you may be harmless, the King James Version says. That you may be pure. There are a couple of important sides to this word. It also has to do with obedience before the living God. You know as well as I do, do you not? That you cannot be innocent when you are a violator of the law. There's no way, right? You can't be innocent. And that's one of the things that comes out of this particular word. But there's also something else which is very interesting. This word also carries with it the sense of being a little naive. Of being innocent in this sense. And we get the picture of children. Children who are innocent because they have not been exposed to the evils of the world. There is an innocency of heart in children who have not been exposed to the evils of the world. And they are without a specific agenda in their hearts. They are innocent in this sense. It's interesting because in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16, Jesus talks about this. In Matthew 10:16, he says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves." As harmless as doves. In other words, there ought to be a kind of innocency about us. Yes, in some things we ought to be naive. We ought to be children in this regard. Now think about this in the context of grumbling and complaining. I think this is kind of interesting. What does the child do? What does the child do who has a kind of innocence and desires with all of his heart or her heart, desires to please his or her parents? When the order is given or the request is made or the suggestion goes out, when there's that kind of innocence, there's real response. And it's a beautiful thing to see. It really is. But if that child has an agenda of his own or her own, immediately, there's some grumbling and complaining when the request is made. And it's an entirely different story. When we have our own agenda in life, which is contrary to the agenda of the living God, when God comes to us, there's not that kind of innocency which responds immediately to the living God. But when He comes to us, on the contrary, we grumble and complain. And so Paul says, "Do all things without grumbling and disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent." And he adds, I'm going to skip here in the text, he adds the words, "above reproach." Here's a challenge. Here is a real challenge. And I know it's a challenge for me. Without rebuke, the King James Version says. Without fault, the New International Version says. And this word is very often connected with the concept of holiness, of being a holy people. I'd like you to turn back in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, and look at the connection here. In Ephesians 1, 4, for example, Paul says, He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless, that we should be a holy people, a people above reproach. In Ephesians chapter 5, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 27, Paul talks about Christ that He might present to Himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she should be holy and blameless. The concept of holiness attached to this word. In other words, we are a people, if we are Christians, if this is a proper representation of the church of Jesus Christ, we are a people who are a holy people. We are set aside from the world for the purposes of God. We are a distinct people. A people in which fault cannot be found, who do not need to be rebuked, who are set aside for a life which reflects the glory of God and the holiness of God. Now, I'm not trying to say to you, and I'm not attempting to say to you that I'm perfect or you're perfect. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to sin. But I am saying that you are set aside and I am set aside for the purposes of God. That's what a saint is. A person who is set aside for God's purposes, for God's use. And that's what this term, above reproach, has to say to us. I know that many of you know Glenn Black. He's a friend of mine, and he's a friend of some who have been in this congregation for a long time. I don't know of another fellow that I've been around who exemplifies this sort of thing more than Glenn does. Above reproach, this fellow is. And it's a tremendous thing to see. But now Paul adds something else here in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. That you may prove yourselves, or that you may be blameless and innocent children of God. What does it mean to be a child of the living God? Does it mean simply that we come and raise our hands and say, oh yes, I believe in Jesus, isn't that a great thing? And then we go on with life? And then we come back on the next Lord's Day and we say again, oh yes, I believe in Jesus. And then we go on with life. And week after week we repeat that confession. It's more than that, isn't it? It's much more than that. And that's what Paul's telling us. Listen to this. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be children of God. Those are strong words. Very strong words. How are you to be children of God in the midst of a fallen world? You must be blameless. There must be an inner willingness to follow the living God. It must be there. You must be innocent. You must not operate on the basis of an agenda that you have, and I must not operate on the basis of an agenda that I have. Your life and my life must be brought into conformity to God's plan and God's agenda. I didn't mention this earlier, but I should have in talking about that. You know, it's very true with many young people today, especially in the dating years, that their agenda is sex. And that's not God's agenda. It cannot be our agenda, therefore. And you young people who are in those years where you date, do not have that kind of agenda. Don't have that kind of agenda. Because it's not God's. In our society today, when people enter into marriage, part of their agenda is that this is a trial, and if it doesn't work out, I'll bail out. And part of their agenda is always in the background thinking about divorce. That's not God's agenda. It cannot be, you see. And so we must be innocent, not having our own agenda, but having God's agenda. We must be above reproach. We must be set aside, set apart to God's holiness as a people. That's what's involved in really being children of the living God. And we can turn this around, because what Paul does in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, is tell us why. And I think this is very crucial. Why our lives ought to be characterized not by grumbling and complaining, that we might be, you see, blameless. That we might be innocent. That we might be above reproach. And there's not a better way. And I really believe this is why Paul zeroes in on this matter so hard. There's not a better way for us to prove to a watching world that we are God's children than to be above grumbling and complaining. We're going to see how this really works itself out in the rest of verse 15, where Paul says that we are in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom we appear as lights in the world. I'm calling myself this morning, and I'm calling you this morning, to be a peculiar people, different people, in the midst of a fallen world, so that you will shine as lights in that world. Brilliant stars, Paul says. You know how you do it? Do all things without grumbling and complaining. That's how you do it. And it's a huge challenge for me, and it's a huge challenge for you. But that's the call that's upon us, folks. and by the grace of the living God, we'll see it. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, help us to grasp the greatness of these words which Paul places before us, that we may be blameless, innocent, children of God, above reproach. Oh, Father, I pray for each one of us in this place this morning, that in a real way, not just in a superficial way, but in a real way, these words will sink into our hearts and be living truth for us, that we may be children of the living God. Bless us to that end, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.